Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thank you for listening to Susie Larson Live. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. So thanks for giving, and thanks for sharing with a friend. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens the awareness of God's presence in your life. God is real. He's with us. He's Emmanuel. And I'm so grateful for that. Well, we've got a special treat for you today. Recording artist and Pastor Torrin Wells joins me today. He is running a few minutes behind, so I'm going to chat for a few minutes with you. But we're going to dig into God's Word together. We're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about a perspective on generosity that maybe you haven't heard before. It's not just about finances. In fact, it's about sowing in all the ways that you really want to reap, sowing in kindness, sowing in compassion, sowing in holy expectancy. But because I'm hoping he's only going to be about 5 minutes late, but you know me, I like backup plan A, B, C, D. I would love to know if you've got some prayer requests. I might bring Kim Sanders on. She's producing today. We may pray for a few of you. So just because I love to pray, and in case we need some time, why don't you text me and tell me how we can be praying for you? If you want to be anonymous, just say that. Otherwise, if you're okay, I'll use your first name. You can text your prayer request, 877-933-2484. A quick announcement before we get to just the stuff we're going to talk about today. Hopefully, we'll get Torrin on here in a minute. You know, maybe you've thought about this, especially if you're an introvert, but sharing Jesus can feel scary at times, but it really doesn't have to be hard. When you get a sense of your story, of what God has done in your story, when you start to pay attention actually to your story and the ways that God keeps showing up, all you got to do is tell your story and talk about what a difference Jesus has made. But I know that still seems easier said than done. And so we want to make it easier and more doable for you. We are so excited to send you a little booklet. It's the Gospel of John, just a standalone Gospel of John with some simple resources to help you just clarify your faith and talk about your faith and share with someone who maybe needs to know about the hope of Jesus. And this is a trying time. This is what feels like a hopeless world. I mean, you don't see hope in people's eyes so often. And if you want them to ask about the hope within you, read the Gospel of John. And in fact, request these resources. We'd love to get them into your hands. You can sign up for free to receive them at myfaithradio.com. Myfaithradio.com. And wouldn't you know, my text line is all of a sudden frozen, so I couldn't see your prayer requests, even if I tried. Let's hope it gets unstuck. But I want to take a look at Psalm 112. This is often a passage I go to when I'm feeling unsettled, when I'm wondering if I have to endure everything I fear. I'm wondering if God sees and is faithful to those who trust him, and he is, and he is. Psalm 112 says this, "Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and who delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. Listen to this. They're generous, they're compassionate, and they're righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered." Listen to this. "They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them." I mean, you could linger in that passage for days, couldn't you? When you start to realize, I fear God. I trust him. Because I fear him, I need fear nothing else. I am not going to clench my teeth, lock my elbows, embrace for impact, and fear bad news. Because the good news always trumps the bad news. I fear God, so I'm not going to fear bad news. I'm going to confidently trust the Lord to care for me. It says they're confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely, give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. I love this part. I shouldn't, but I do. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away with their hopes thwarted. You know why I like that? Because for many years, until I had this last oral surgery, I had massive TMJ pain, constant chronic jaw pain into my head. And I'm telling you, when I think about fearing God and not fearing bad news and trusting God to deal with my enemy, imagine them, those little minions of the devil, clenching their teeth, getting their own set of TMJ as they're walking away because their evil plans have come to nothing. I love that so much. We trust God. We can be confident and fearless, and we can trust that His power to save us is more than enough. So I hope that encourages you today. I love God's word. It looks like we've got Torin, so I'm going to give him a proper introduction and get him on the show. Torin Wells is an 8-time Dove Award-winning, 10-time Grammy-nominated, platinum-selling recording artist and performer. Today, he and his wife, Lorna, are co-lead pastors of Whitestone in Austin, Texas. That's a church. It's powerful. You should listen to him online. He can preach as well as he can dance, let me just tell you. Their commitment is to take people beyond the surfaced areas of their lives and help them discover who God has created them to be. Together with their 4 children, the Wells' intent is to establish a church family that empowers people in Austin and around the world to discover their God-authored identity through wholehearted relationship with God. I love it so much. Torin, welcome to the show. So nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
You're an awesome preacher. I've so enjoyed it. I can't wait to dig into your message, and we will that in a little bit. But I've loved your music. I have a dance background, so I'm just going to come clean and tell you, in heaven, I will be one of your backup dancers when you perform for God. I'm just telling you right now.
Come it's going to happen. That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, I love it so much. But I mean, our first question we ask every single day is this, and it doesn't have to relate to the message you just gave or any of our content today. It can be a standalone segment in itself. Just what has God been impressing upon your heart as you spend time with Him?
That is a very good question. It has been so many things. As I am 10 weeks into pastoring, it's like I'm drinking out of a fire hose. But I think the overarching theme that God is showing me is trust, and that God actually has planned my days and planned for my days.
Yeah.
And that this is the day that the Lord has made. And I know we quickly want to get to, I will rejoice and be glad in it, but there is a peace that settles in over your soul when you realize that this day was designed by the sovereignty of God. And that, so if I have problems today, they're God's problems.
Come on.
And if I have success today, it's God's success. Mm-hmm. And if I am in need today, God has already provided provision for this day. And so trusting that that is true and walking in faith is really what I'm learning.
Praise God. Who needed to hear that today, friends? Somebody got to text me an amen. That is so wonderful. This is the day the Lord has made. And as you said, before we get to rejoice, we just pause there and understand that He is sovereign over all and that He goes before and behind us and places His hand of blessing on our head. Psalm 139:5. I love that. Torin, I would love a little backstory on your faith journey.
Yeah, absolutely. My family was... singing it through it is what we kind of have a joke of saying. They were struggling. My parents were separated when I was young, and my mom and I would move out of my dad's house and then move back in and move out, and not a lot of stability. They weren't really believers at the time. I think that God for them was an acquaintance, not a savior or a friend. And so trying to make it through relationships and marriage and life is difficult when you know Jesus and when Jesus is your friend. But when, you know, when He's not and you're on the outside of that, it's just very difficult. My parents faced that and ended up getting divorced. And that really put both of my parents on a spiritual journey, but in particular, my dad, in attending this new church, and we had never really been to church before as a family. I had visited a couple times to a place, but this was the first time that it was really different. And I was 9 years old and just walked into the back of this little Pentecostal church in Battle Creek, Michigan, and felt like I showed up somewhere that someone had been waiting for me. You
Wow.
know, I stepped into a family
Wow.
and into a place where there was stability and there was structure and there were people that believed in you. And that was really the first thing that gripped my heart was the people. And then God touched my life. I went to a summer church camp. God filled me with his spirit, came home, got baptized. And although my journey has been imperfect, I've never looked back. And that was 27 years ago.
I feel
So,
like I just got to pause here, Lord. I just pray for all of your church, all of your churches, that we would be such a welcome force that when new people step in, they would feel like we've been waiting for them. Lord, that I pray for that, Lord. Your spirit would fall on your church in such a way that we would live in such holy expectancy that when the lost, the broken, the hurting, the wandering step through our doors, they feel we've been waiting for you. Thank you, Lord, for that vision, in Jesus' name. Sorry, I just had to do that. Wow, that's
No, that's so
powerful.
good.
Thank you, Lord. So, when did you
It
discover that you were geniusly talented in music? I mean, you are. I'm just saying, you are. But when did you discover that?
I wouldn't see it on that level, but I felt like I had something in beta. You know, I had something raw. Just as a 9-year-old, my parents are very talented. Just in theater and music and art. And my dad is a musician, plays drums and keys, and is writes songs and stuff like that musically. And so I just grew up around that, you know, grew up having singers come to the house and saxophone players, guitar players, drummers, rappers, all of that, working with my dad in his home studio. And loved music. And then when I realized there was an outlet for it in the local church, that was just a dream that I didn't know to dream come true. And started singing in the Christmas play. And, you know, then in high school, leading worship. And my youth pastor said, if you're going to sing and lead worship, you need to know how to play an instrument. So I started learning how to play the piano. And started writing my own songs, really because I couldn't learn the actual songs fast enough. I could write a song much faster than I could learn a song.
Wow.
So I started that and just loved it. I never knew that there was a music industry that was accessible for people. Just had no real concept of that world, particularly in Christian music. And I just went to Bible college wanting to develop as a minister, wanting to study theology and minored in music. And that was the first time that I got to write music and have it recorded on an actual CD. And I got to hear my song brought to life in that way and coming through the stereo system in my sister's car. And that was cool. And then as time went on, I realized there was more opportunity and God opened doors and created relationships where I could connect with people and walk that calling out. But I still feel like I'm just trying to figure it out.
Wow.
So
Before we go to break, I got to ask, what was your first big break, in the music industry?
oh, I don't know how what would be defined as a big break. I
Or
feel
maybe
like
little steps at a time, I suppose, huh?
yeah, it was. I mean, having my first song recorded in Bible college and being the title track of the album they released was amazing. And then playing in front of Leland Morin, who made Waymaker
Oh, wow.
popular and has written many, many incredible songs. He was the one that connected me with the record label that ended up signing me. So getting signed in 2011 was, you know, a big break. And then I released a song called Hills and Valleys in 2015, and that landed me on a tour with Lionel Richie and Mariah Carey. That
Wow.
was a big break. And that was probably the catalytic moment that God really used to push me to the front of the line. So,
Wow.
yeah.
Well, you are such a faithful steward, Torin. I appreciate it so much. When we come back, we're going to start digging into scripture, this message you gave recently. It's so hard to believe you've been only at this pastoring thing for 10 weeks. But as you said, even in the message, God's been preparing you for this your whole life. This message was phenomenal. We will link it up in the show notes. And generosity is about so much more than finances. And boy, did he make the case for that. So I want you to stay tuned. We're not asking you for any money. We're asking you to come humbly and with a teachable heart, with a perspective, to dig into God's word in such a way that we all learn something new today and we're all empowered and encouraged to walk out our faith. That's our goal today. Torin Wells is my guest today. If you do have an appreciation for like athletic kind of funky hip hop dance, you got to go to YouTube and check out Fake It. That's his music video. Phenomenal, just phenomenal. If you have an appreciation for it, you will love it. More with Torin Wells in just a moment. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. When someone asks me, how do you live differently because of Calvary? I say three words. It is finished. My sin and my shame were nailed to the cross, and now I can live with a holy expectancy. Yes, we have trials and troubles as we live on this fallen planet, but we have so much to look forward to. You can live change today because of what Jesus has promised you in your tomorrows. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We have the great honor of talking to singer-songwriter and pastor Torin Wells today. He's written and performed many powerful, worshipful songs, but he's also started a church with his wife called Church of the Whitestone and Church of Whitestone. And I'd said we're going to dig into your message, but I forgot. I really want to know the story, because for you to be in full-time music ministry and to launch out to start a church, that's no small thing. So I got to know that process, how God planted that in your heart, and even how we can pray for you, and even the meaning of your church name.
Yes, ma'am. Well, really, this idea, I feel like God planted in my heart as a 19 or 20-year-old college student. And I found out through just some reading that the best way to reach lost people is to plant new churches. And although I love music and all of that, I really loved the ministry music empowered me to do. The fact that it got me close enough to people to see their lives changed by Jesus. And so even in high school, bringing friends from high school was the highlight to show them, yeah, there's this youth group meeting in the basement of this church, and we actually love God, love each other, and want to serve people, you know. And that was so exciting to me. It was more exciting than performing the songs or speaking. It was seeing the ministry impact people's lives. So once I became aware of the concept of church planting in college, that's really all I ever really wanted to do. I wanted to be a youth pastor, and then I wanted to start a church. And I didn't realize that the road to seeing that become a reality was going to be so long and winding. Through many incredible life experiences and a lot of fire that I needed to refine me, and a lot of trial and error throughout my life, as well as my wife Lorna's life, just to prepare us for this season. But it's been in my heart for a very long time. And in 2016 in particular, we felt like we were ready to venture out into this God calling to plant the church. And so I started just trying to think of names and praying about it, and what would be something that would carry the very essence of the church that we saw in our heart. just in name. And I had several different names, but I was reading through Revelation one day and came across Revelation 2:17. And it says, "To the one who overcomes, he will give a white stone with a name engraved on it that only they know." And I realized that that scripture was, excuse me, it was 1:17, that scripture was about identity, and that God holds our true identity in the palm of his hand, that this white stone has a name written on it that only the one who receives it knows. And so there is a name that we are known by in heaven that is not yet known to us on earth. And so there is a you that you haven't met yet. And our hope is to help people discover that you. The you haven't met yet, the you that God knows, the you that God sees, the redeemed you, the righteous you, the called you, and that you're not gonna find that identity held in the hands of an employer, a career, a cultural mindset, a relationship. God exclusively holds that identity in the palm of his hand. So,
Amen. Ah, so good.
God-authored identity through wholehearted relationship with Jesus. So we had that thought in our mind, but didn't really have the place or the time. So fast forward a few years, we're driving through Cedar Park, Texas, and we come across Whitestone Boulevard. And then fast
Whoa.
forward 6 more months, and we come back, and it's not just Whitestone Boulevard we see Whitestone Dentistry, Whitestone Veterinary Clinic, Whitestone Elementary. And I'm with my wife's cousin, and I'm like, "Hey, bro, what's up with all the Whitestone stuff?" He was from this area. "Is this an area? Is it Whitestone, Texas? Is it a part of Austin? Tell me about this place." And he said, "No, it's because the quarry's here. And the quarry is where they dig out all the Texas limestone. And Texas limestone is also called white stone." He said, "Austin is built on white stone." And in that moment, God just solidified
Wow.
this idea that we were called to build white stone on white stone.
Come
And
on, that's
funny enough,
amazing.
we are 3 streets down now where we're gathering. From Whitestone Boulevard on a street called New Hope Drive.
Wow.
And it's a God-ordained moment.
Wow. Wow, I'm stunned. God is so good. When you dare to give him your capital yes and you make yourself available and you trust his timing, he will blow you away. You know, he
Yes, he
wants
will.
yeses from us. He wants our availability, and you gave him that, but you also didn't get ahead of him. So how powerful is that? And I got to say, for a church of 10 weeks old, your crowd looks pretty sizable. I know things aren't always measured that way, but you've got a pretty good crowd in that building.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, it's unbelievable to us. We're so grateful for what God is doing. We really don't feel like it's a church planted by human hands. We feel like God has planted this church as a strategic house in a strategic city for a strategic time.
Come on.
And we announced that we were moving to Georgetown, Texas, on April 7th, 2023. And that was Good Friday of last year. And it was amazing because we had 4,000 people show up on a rainy Friday evening to pray, worship, and for us to announce that we were moving our family that summer. So we had
Wow.
4,000 people there in the rain, and then we moved in June of last year, and we've just been connecting with people, assembling a team. God has sent people here to help us from Florida, Illinois, California, really all over Tennessee, from Houston, and has assembled an incredible team of people. And then, of course, God already had strategic partners and allies here in the city that we partnered with and discovered and connected with. And we did some community groups and we did some prayer nights and just gathered and built real relationships with people. And then we launched on January 28th of this year with 3,400 people in our first service. We did two services. They were both filled to capacity with additional seating set up. And from what I understand from other pastors and leaders who have surrounded us and have helped us,
That
that is
doesn't
the
happen.
largest church plant in U.S. history.
Yeah.
And we're just blown away by that, honored by it, overwhelmed by it. And now, 10 weeks in, God has sustained so much of that. And we're seeing people making fresh starts and commitments to Jesus every week. We're about to launch baptisms in May. And as of today, we have over 50 people who are signed up to be baptized, and we haven't even announced it yet. So it's supernatural, honestly. And so it keeps us very dependent on God and very close.
So many things I'm thinking about. I've read that as well, that one of the quickest way to reach lost folks, people who might be searching, is a brand new church plant. There's just something about it. It's new life springing up. And so, friends, I pray that you'd listen, and maybe if the Lord's calling you, somehow, some way, to step out, but also turn waiting on the Lord's timing. I've seen it over and over again. As I've waited on the Lord's timing, you step into something that's more ready-made when you wait on His timing, rather than trying to
That's right.
preempt an outcome or make something happen in your own timing. It's like the fruit is ripe and ready. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I promise you, we're going to dig into this message. But because we're going to use the second half of the show to dig in, you're going to want to see the whole message. You can watch it on YouTube. We will link it up in the show notes. So when we come back, Torin, let's talk about Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. And you unpacked that so well in the message. Torin Wells is my guest today. Such a great conversation. So many things I'm thinking about, and I'm thinking for you, friend, as you're listening today. Trust God's timing. Trust Him. He loves you. He will lead you faithfully. Give Him your capital yes and see what He'll do with you. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to singer-songwriter and pastor Torin Wells about faith, about ministry. And he and his wife launched a church just 10 weeks ago. We're talking about one of his messages, Man, the Man Can Preach. And we're going to link it up in our show notes. I was so inspired and encouraged. And generosity is a core value in our marriage, Kev and I. As you know, if you've listened to the show all these years, you know that's a core vision for us in our marriage. It's changed everything as we've lived by that. So I've studied a lot about generosity. I've read a lot of books about it. So I felt like I've heard, not everything, but a lot. And I felt like I got fresh revelation from this message. It was so good. But let's start here, Torin. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Amplified says money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than the Lord. Take it from there.
Well, that's a good setup. I mean, there's obviously a lot of clarity that exists just within that verse already. And I think it's the Amplified version that speaks to it, kind of breaks down mammon. And it's like fame, status, wealth, power, anything that exalts itself above God in that way. And so what I was just trying to communicate to our church, and this was in the context of a 2 week message. So I preached on it for about an hour 1 week and an hour the next week, because the Bible talks so much about money. And, a lot of people that attend churches, that's kind of a tough spot for them because they're like, the church is always talking about money. But I think maybe they've disconnected the fact that Jesus talked a lot about money. He talked about it more than any other subject. Money, wealth, and possessions. It's talked about a lot. And so, as a pastor stepping into that role, I really had a lot of reservation and pause to speak to that issue because it can be contentious and kind of off-putting
And
to people,
misjudged, yeah.
misjudged, and you don't know why you're talking about it. Obviously, there's been a lot of terrible teaching around money that you have to contend with. And so the first message was really just trying to get everybody back to ground zero, to the same place. And that is, when you talk about generosity, the first thing Jesus talks about in generosity is not money. He talks about loving your enemies. And if someone borrows from you, don't ask for it back. And if they want your coat, give them your shirt also. And just so many different aspects of it. And never once is money mentioned in his talk about generosity. And so before generosity is how we use our money, generosity is how we spend our lives and how we open our lives to people and open our hearts to people and open our resources to people. But then God started dealing with me as a pastor, and that is, the role of a spiritual leader is to lead people spiritually. And you cannot lead people spiritually without giving them direction financially. Because it's not a church or a tradition or a pastor who made the connection between God and treasure. It was actually Jesus who made the connection between God and treasure, between heart and treasure. So if we're going to lead people's hearts, then we have to teach them how to deal with their wallets. And one old preacher said, of all the strongholds that fall in the Christian life, money's usually the last one.
Indeed.
And so.
I was going to say, one of the things, Jesus talked, as you said, about it more than anything else, not because he needed something from people. We often say this on Faith Radio. We don't talk about this because we need something from you. It's because we want something for you. And Jesus knew what this would do to us and how we would serve two masters. We don't default to postures of faith, hope, and love. We default to self-preservation, to,
Yes.
orphan mentality, to scarcity mindsets. That's where we default. So we have to somehow address it because otherwise you miss out on the best of what God wants to reveal to you about his character, right?
Yes, absolutely. And what he wants to reveal to you about you. Because there's like we are our greatest obstacle. I know that there's a real enemy and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I know that there our attacks and all of that kind of stuff. But 90% of our problems come from the parts of us we have not surrendered to God. And a lot of that just comes from a selfish mentality. And I know I've had that. And that's where this message really started for me was I'm not boasting about an area of strength. I'm preaching from a place of weakness. I was terrible at this. I was the worst of the worst at being generous and being consistent and having a system that delivered the vision that I had for my life. I wanted to be a generous person. I wanted to be a loving person. I wanted to be a person who was wholeheartedly sold out to God. And yet I had not submitted to the system God put in place to help bring my heart in alignment with my vision and his vision for my life to be generous. And that's really how I think I would characterize it briefly is God has principles and patterns that he uses to deliver his promises. His principle is generosity. The whole idea of our faith hinges on God being generous. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So everything we believe is built and predicated upon this act of ridiculous generosity. And so he establishes this principle and expresses it in every way from, you know, I don't want to get too deep into it. It's a 2-hour message, but there's the principle of generosity. And then anything God has a principle for, he creates a pattern around. God wants there to be light. What does he do? He sets the sun and the stars and the moon, and you can count on that thing every day because he put it within a pattern. When you look at how he set up the idea of tithing, people like to kind of argue, you know, that's Old Testament or that's in the law. And actually, tithing predates the law. We see the principle of tithing in Genesis when God says you can eat any tree from any tree in the garden, but one of them is mine. He's establishing the principle that in all of his provision, he sets apart a piece of it for himself. And then he continues that all through the scriptures with Jericho. They were supposed to bring all of the plunder of Jericho back to the Lord. Some of the men kept it for themselves. They lose the next battle because they did not give God his portion. And then you can even find it in the New Testament where Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and he's reprimanding them to make a different point. But it doesn't undermine the point that he says, you even tithe on the spices you use for your food, but you neglect the weightier matters of the law, justice, truth, and righteousness. You should do the one without neglecting the other. So Jesus essentially tells them, pay your tithe, but do these other things too. And you know, so it's just, the pattern is all throughout the scripture. And then to your point, the point is to bring God's promises into our lives. He is never in need. He is not in need of our little dollar bills. He is not wondering if he's going to make the electric bill this month in heaven. He is not lacking resources. He knows that we are. And so he has created a principle and a pattern to deliver his promises into our lives. And so I've tried to encourage our church, don't get caught up in the argument of, is generosity or specifically tithing a law that we live under? The real question is it a promise we get to stand on?
Come on. Come on, because somebody. Amen.
Everything that God asks from us is to bring good things into our lives.
That's right.
And I have proven it to be true, and I have accepted God's test, which he's the one that said this. It's the only time in scripture he says, give me the quiz. He says, test me in this. Bring the tithe into the storehouse and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing, you don't have room to contain it. I don't want anything God doesn't want for me, but I want everything God wants for me.
Come on. Amen.
And there's a difference between being greedy and being hungry. Being greedy is wanting more than what God has for you. Being hungry is wanting everything God has for you. And Jesus implores us, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. So as we give and we hunger and we pursue the things of God, God fills us to overflowing. And I'm just a testimony of it. I had nothing when I moved to Houston, Texas 17 years ago. Everything I owned fit in one box. And now I can't count the blessings. And there's a clear before and after for me here. There is a before I understood generosity, experienced generosity, and submitted my spirit to the spirit of generosity, all I had was scarce. And since this time, God has grown me in this area, I have lacked for nothing.
Come on.
And that is the beautiful.
Amen. If you're getting inspired today, I've already got some amens and so good and such a good message as we go to this break. You got to give me an amen. But I'm thinking as you're talking, Torin, as we get ready to break here, you know, Jesus said, you've heard it said, but I say. You've heard it said, but I say. And every time he raises the bar and he doesn't turn the screws on the law, it's like he moves us from obligation to invitation. He moves us out of that burden of the law because he fulfilled the law into an invitation to trust him for more than we could ever think of ourselves to become. The things he's asking of us, he's done first. He's gone first, gone before us. So this is so powerful. When we come back, I'm hoping we can squeeze all this in this short little bit of time, but you were on fire in this part of your message when you said giving prioritizes God. He doesn't need your money, but he wants your heart, and he wants to be the priority of your heart. He can't be number two. He will not be number two. Because there's no one like our God. If you think God is the stepping stone to your prosperity, then that's the prosperity gospel and not the true gospel. God is the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. The only position that he accepts is first. And when you live like he's first, the rest is blessed. We'll be back in a minute. That's you, buddy. That's you.
I can't believe it.
Wow, so good. You were on fire. I was waiting for you to dance, but it's okay because it was really, really good. All right, we'll be back here in just a minute. More with Torin Wells. Stay tuned. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I remember one day after my show, driving home from the station, when my heart was very heavy. I was burdened with something that I really couldn't talk about, but God knew about. I was crying out to him for wisdom, insight, direction, something. Give me something, God, I cried. Suddenly my ears perked to the voice on my radio, and it was someone on Faith Radio talking about the very problem that I had. I work for Faith Radio, yet at that moment, I was a recipient of a divine connection of hearing the right word at the right time. That's what God does. We love him for it. Every day, we do our best to serve up the best leaders, the best voices of our day to help disciple you in your faith. But then God does what only he can do. He steps in and helps you to hear the right word at the right time. If Faith Radio has become a part of your daily journey with God, we would love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and to help you grow at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, having a really great conversation with Torin Wells. He's a singer-songwriter, but also a pastor. He and his wife started a church just 10 weeks ago. They've got thousands of people already. God is moving. If you want to hear the amazing backstory, once the live show is over, it goes to podcast. We've got listeners in 170 countries, so you really can listen to the podcast anytime you want. This has been a powerful conversation. We're drawing from a message Torin recently gave on generosity. And as I mentioned before the break, was such a powerful moment in the sermon, Torin, when you said giving prioritizes God. He doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. He wants to be the priority of your heart. He cannot be number two, and he will not be number two because there's no one like our God. Say more if you would.
Well, I just was trying to communicate this idea that God is first and can only be first. He would have to compromise his nature to be second. And in the terms of priorities, he will not be second place and he will not accept second best. And so what I challenged our church with was, if you're not bringing God your first, then don't bring him anything at all, because he only accepts first. And I walked them scripturally through the principle of the first, that there is the principle of the firstborn that was established in the Old Testament. There's the principle of the first fruits that was established in the Old Testament. Some people would kind of argue that and say, well, that's the Old Testament, but then you'd have to throw out a lot of the New Testament to disagree with it, because Jesus, Colossians says that everything was made by him, for him, and through him. John says that he's preeminent. John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You have Jesus being the firstborn of Mary, and who was the one and only sacrifice for our sin. And, you know, so even in how God operated, like I said before, through principle and pattern, he doesn't conflict with himself. He is consistent through and through. So even in his redemption of the world, Jesus was first. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. So even in his sacrifice for our sin, he was first. Like, he can't be anything but first. And so if we're really going to follow him, we've got to put him first. And a lot of times where we see what's first in our lives is in how we spend our money. And I challenged our church with this idea that money turns your heart inside out. It doesn't change your heart. It shows you your heart. That the prodigal son was just as lost in the house as he was when he got outside of it. He just got money, and we saw who he really was. And that still happens with us. It still happens with me. And I constantly have to course correct and make sure that I am serving God and using money, not serving money and using God. And that is a very subtle shift. But whenever we demote God to being the stepping stone toward our wants, we are now our God.
Yeah.
And that is what he's trying to save us from. Because if we are our God, then we're responsible for saving ourselves. I've tried that. It doesn't work. So I need a savior. And that's where I'm trying to lead our people.
So beautiful. Just got a minute and a half or so left. What do you know about God now that you didn't know as well 5, 10 years ago?
Oh, he's so, so gracious. Just so much grace. So patient. Patient, 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 long suffering. And I've seen it in my own life. I could give plenty of examples that I've seen around me, but he's okay doing things slowly. He's okay with me doing things slowly. Now, what I've learned is that spiritual maturity is evaluated in the time it takes for him to tell me something and me to do it. The longer it takes for me to do it, the more immaturity I realize I have. And I'm trying to close the gap on that. But he's got so much grace, and he's so patient with us. And he's been so patient with me, even in the area of giving. You know, he's been so patient with me in areas of my character that needed to be developed and still need to be developed. He's so patient. And yet, in all of that, he still gives us opportunity to be used.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And serve him. It is just, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. And
I
I'm
think I hear
just
a new song coming
great.
on, Torin. I think you got to write a new song about this. I don't know if you know this, but our sister station is KTIS. So you gave us on our media call, you did an amazing devotional on the small, on celebrating the small, not shunning or shaming the small. And it was powerful. I got a question for you once we're done here off the show, but I want to say thank you on the air because our listeners, if you could see the text coming in, you've deeply blessed, challenged, and encouraged us today. So thank you for giving us your time, Torin.
Yes, thank you. Honored, honored. Thank you for having me.
All right, don't hang up. I got a quick question for you. But friends, thanks so much for tuning in today. Praise God that we can come together like this, get just dig into the Word together, get a fresh revelation. And one of the things Torin said in his message is, you know, what you sow is what you grow. If you want to sow compassion, sow kindness, sow the benefit of the doubt, you will reap that. And so if you want to sow crazy on social media, you might just reap that. So really consider your life as an offering today. We love and appreciate you. We'll meet you back here. Thank you for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These conversations are available because of your support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes, and then share it with friends so together we can all have a deeper life in Christ.